Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. We need to press on. You know, the sunny side of the street is what we do on Mondays, which is a good sort of antidote to the usual Monday stuff. But then we get into the, you know, the other stuff. I feel like I soft pedal it usually, though. I don't want to fearmonger. But there are reasons to be concerned, legitimate reasons to be concerned, you know. And our human nature, our proclivities have been weaponized against us. I have sitting here next to me, here's a copy of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which is, you know, my brain was going down the Elgat rabbit hole yesterday when we were sort of talking about stuff and the human potential movement, all that kind of stuff that we've really seen parallel the CIA in particular, trying to, you know, I think that whole cottage industry really is sort of a microcosm or sort of an outcropping of human research and development and how to manipulate and steer people. And, you know, out of that, out of the large group awareness training, the Elgat stuff, so many cults, including, you know, I mentioned yesterday that there was the article, Newsweek article, which also referenced the Forbes article, Cult of Personality, way back when, early 2000s. But the Newsweek article about how Roger Stone worked for NXIVM, Keith Raniere's NXIVM, for a hot minute, and just all this stuff. And so I mentioned the Kumari documentary, the mockumentary back in 2011. And so Exodus chapter 20 tells us that we want a hero figure, but that's part of the nature of man. If you really understand what's going on here, all of this is clear evidence for the Bible and for the God, the author of it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Clear evidence for him and his creation. However, the indispensable, you know, Jesus said, it's good that I go, I will send you the helper. And the helper helps us in a variety of ways, not the least of which is, you know, translating, so to speak, which I mention all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to read the Bible, you have to have the secret decoder ring, which is the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Wow, that's amazing. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. For those who get caught up in philosophia and the worship of it, the love of wisdom or, you know, get sucked into Gnostic theosophical circles and the seduction of the ageless wisdom, quote unquote, which is a ridiculous, I would say, oxymoronic assertion at a certain level. I would say read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So, you know, that's where it's at, and the Holy Spirit is indispensable in that process. There is the contest to be the Deus ex machina, the God of the machine, so to speak, man, in this case being the metaphorical machine. And, you know, if you go to, what is the Wikipedia entry with the, the black box Wikipedia entry, I think, where you see, you go to the Wikipedia black box entry, you see the diagram, input, output, science knows where input, how that works, where that lights up in our brain, knows where output lights up, where that works, where that's happening. But where is the, you know, where's the thing in the middle? Where's the black box? It's not in us, I would say. That's the whole point. And that's where you start to get crazy, you know, existential. You're either a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. And it's that simple. But we are beguiled to believe that we can be as gods, which is the first deception. Genesis 3 and especially verse 5. This is where we're at. You know, in Exodus 20, you see the illustration of this in the fact that the people don't want to be accountable for themselves. When Moses says, let's go talk to God, and they say, you talk to us lest we perish. We want to absolve ourselves. We want to abdicate our own personal accountability and responsibility. It's our nature. Hayek tells us in The Road to Serfdom, chapter 10, why the worst get on top, that there are three main reasons why the worst get on top. Not the least of which is the deliberate effort of the skillful demagogue to weld together a closely coherent and homogeneous body of supporters that sort of typify the third and, he says, most important negative element of selection, which is, it seems to be almost a law of human nature that it's easier for people to agree on a negative program, on the hatred of an enemy, than on those than a positive one, which speaks to Lynn's point. I'm touched on this for a moment yesterday when I said that recently I saw a local news piece. I say local because it wasn't a fancy national production segment, just a local interview with a gentleman in Missoula, Montana, who is a very interesting looking gentleman, by the way. But he said, you know, people come and they're all upset and stuff. And I say, hey, look, there's a process here. And, you know, if you don't like the law or you don't like this, whatever, change it. And I just thought that was incredibly naive. Incredibly naive. You don't apparently understand how lobbying works. You don't understand what happens at places like, AIPAC or ALEC. Everybody's got their legislative think tank and their representatives that they've essentially bought off through lobbying. And so, here's the legislation that we had drawn up. Here's our person that we've been lobbying, air quotes, that we've bought. And so you hand your legislation you've crafted to your purchased legislator, and there you go. And they say, hey, you know what? If you want these kinds of things to keep happening, make this happen. Or this project is going to generate billions of dollars, and who knows, maybe some of it might fly your way. Certainly might end up in your constituents', stomping ground, so make it happen. And that's kind of how, that's a broad overview of how the sausage gets made these days. And we're, in that sense, we're being bribed with our own money. Anyway, it's very naive to say if you don't like it, change it, because it's incredibly difficult at this point. And I think a big reason why is because words mean things. And the more we drift away from that reality, and ideas have consequences, so whose ideas? The more we suffer those consequences. Bertrand Russell observed in The Impact of Science on Society that in a scientific dictatorship, what did he mean by that, by the way? Speaking of words mean things, I wonder if America would qualify as a sort of proxy dictatorship. And isn't it ironic that we are confused here in society generally, as a society, we're led to believe that we all, we're supposed to agree, even though most of us don't want to capitulate to the nonsense that we're confused about gender and things like that. We're going to completely destroy truth, objectivity, and those kinds of things. But we're going to go spread that around the world. Is it me, or is that ironic? So Bertrand Russell observed, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without need of armies or policemen. And, we haven't had a draft in, around 50 years in America? We got people lining up despite an epidemic suicide rate, despite the commercials that you probably see now. If you drank the water at Camp Lejeune, you might be entitled to some money. And despite the fact that forever people have complained about what goes on at the VA, what if we didn't have benefits? What if there weren't benefits? What if military service was considered conscription and you didn't, it's some kind of benefit, whether it's college or medical this or that or whatever. What if we didn't hand out blue ribbons? The old Napoleon cliche, I could have conquered the world if I had more blue ribbons. What if none of that was a thing? The idea originally, as I understand it, was the militia, was the Minutemen were the front line. And if it looked like they couldn't repel insurrection or invasion, then the regulars were conscripted. That's how I understand it. And again, our propensity is to abdicate responsibility. Nah, they'll take care of it. Leave the fighting to the military. Leave the politics to the experts. And those things have consequences. But our proclivity has been weaponized. It's high time that we take back and reclaim our faculties and language. Speaking of technology, I mentioned that one of the things that I'm sort of exploring is there's the American history thing that I think pretty much everybody gets wrong. No one that I see gets it entirely right. And, you know, am I the expert that so-and-so is? No, but if you've been listening to this broadcast for most of this year, 2024, you know that I try to be very vigilant about opening the broadcast with prayer. And in that prayer, I usually include the idea of revealing our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I don't know about you, but I think that's having an effect and a result in my own mind and life and thoughts. And I hope it is in yours too, because, you know, practically speaking, maybe we could say that we could sort of juxtapose Lynn's call this morning with Sherry's call yesterday, at the end of yesterday's broadcast. So were we supposed to just go along with everything and then everyone should just, you know, everything is okay? Absolutely not. And that's why I mentioned, you know, I think honesty is the first step. You know, we live in a society where a lot of people grew up reading 1984 and Brave New World and yet can't see the lunacy of statements like our diversity is our strength. Really? Meanwhile, the bad guys are all bound together like the little fascies, the little bundle of unbreakable sticks, the unbreakable bundle of sticks. Those guys are bound together in a tight little bundle. They don't break ranks. They may differ on nuances, but they don't break ranks. You know, the Hillary Clintons, the Jacinda Arderns, the Gavin Newsoms. They don't break ranks. There's some theater, and I will refrain from naming names here, but you know, if you've been a reality TV personality and you've been featured in WWE and, you know, people are boasting about being at UFC events with people like that, that I think, I mean, it's embarrassing, quite frankly, I would say. It's embarrassing. Can you imagine? Thomas Jefferson was seen at UFC 299. Goodness sakes. So I think the first order of business is honesty in our housekeeping. Because if we can't do that, so, you know, we grew up reading 1984, War is Peace, Ignorance is Strength, and diversity is our strength. That is an Orwellian slogan, if ever there was one. Our unity is our strength. What binds us together is our strength, not our diversity. And if you want to, you know, you put Davide et Impera together with Sun Tzu, the acme of skill is to defeat the enemy without fighting. You know what? Have them defeat themselves. Our diversity is our strength. Congratulations, mission accomplished. We need to be honest. That's the first step. That's the first order of business in our housekeeping. We need to be completely honest. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. So, ideas have consequences, which obviously is the title of Richard Weaver's 1948 book. But I would say that ideas also have momentum. And so, you know, what I mean by that is when, you know, think about when you're young, when you're younger, when we were little kids, some of us, you know, you have that experience where you think, you know what, I'll just kind of fib this time, and I don't want to tell the whole truth. I don't want to get in trouble. So here, I'll just tell a little story, a little white lie. And one little white lie turns into another. And pretty soon, you know, my goodness. So I have, you know, put it another way, addictions feed on themselves. all addictions feed on themselves. And I would say that dishonesty is the same kind of thing. And what it does is it destroys a person. Some folks might say it atomizes a person, breaks you all apart in pieces. And if someone can get you being dishonest, well, shucks, you are not strong. You are weakened. I wrote that piece. When was that? 2021, November 21st, 2021, titled COVID-19 Full Circle. And just sort of coming to grips with what was actually happening, because it's really, even if you see it and you know it, it's still overwhelming. And so I said it, but I featured a snapshot out of Biderman and Zimmer's The Manipulation of Human Behavior with those atomized pieces, those broken pieces on strings like a little marionette. This is the person. If we can get them being dishonest and we can feed them the Freudian plague, get them believing these lies, well, then, they're easily controlled. Manipulated and controlled. The Manipulation of Human Behavior. What would happen if we were completely honest? Our diversity is not our strength. That's a lie. It's dishonest. Meanwhile, the people who feed us those lies, they don't break ranks. Their unity is their strength. How ironic. It's right there in plain sight. The evidence for that, by the way, is as you look around in the, let's say, the upper echelons of, kakistocratic or kratocratic power, kakistocracy, kratocracy, whatever. As you look at the sort of the upper echelons of this, so to speak, in the circles of what C. Wright Mills, called the power elite, how many of those people do you see with, all tattooed up and piercings everywhere? And how many of the think tanky CFR types have tongue piercings and gauges in their ears and purple hair, tattoos? They show up in their jammies, basically, to the CFR proceedings. And how many of them are, gender fluid in their proceedings? Is Richard N. Haass gender fluid? Or is he telling us that we should be gender fluid? Think about it. Just because there are not guns and bombs and planes and tanks doesn't mean that we're not under attack. Indeed, the limited conflict, the low intensity conflict model, seems to be the most effective, seems to work exceptionally well. Unconventional warfare includes all kinds of fun things too, by the way, including weather. Food and water are always, in primary view, because without food and water, how long does your enemy last? What if you can convince your enemy that, you don't need that water, and you know what? I don't know what's happening. How is the water drying up? That's weird. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and trying to argue with people who don't understand that technology or what, guys like John Brennan have said about it, is like playing chess with a pigeon. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us,
What has happened for them since starting Extendivite? Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I feel like, you know, I want to jump ahead, but I feel like I should go in order. I don't want to. I want to jump ahead. But I'm going to refrain. I'm going to go in order. I'm going to explain this, and then we'll go to the phones. First, we'll do this. I'll explain it. We'll go to the phones. So, what I was trying to say earlier was that, you know, through the exchange with Joyce Herr, I didn't finish this, you know, this thought. Through the exchange, the email exchange with Joyce, listening to the Joe Moorcraft stuff, I don't agree with everything that I've heard so far, but I'm still listening. There's the six-part, you know, 1776 mind thing that I mentioned recently. It's a playlist Where did I mention that? Was that last? I don't know. Wherever that is. Ridiculous. Whatever. It's somewhere. Oh, I think I know where it is. Yeah, The American Mind in 1776, Joe Moorcraft Lecture on American History, 6 parts. So I'm listening to it. In the first part, he mentions Richard Weaver's ideas have consequences. This has sort of reawakened a certain area of my awareness or whatever, and so I think it's important to share. And there are some fun things that you can find floating around. There's a piece, for example, that Jeffrey Peters wrote originally back in 2017. It was on the business-superstar.com website. That domain has changed hands, apparently. You can still find that post archived in the Wayback Machine, but it's also reposted over at newsandtimes.com. Reposted in 2019. Richard, as the previous title was Finding Comfort in Hard Work. I really want to read that and also this other stuff. Anyway, it's been reposted as Richard Weaver and the Consequence of Ideas. I think the previous title was better. Anyway, we'll get to that. Then there's a series posted on menofthewest.net. A series that was done back in 2018 and 2019 by Theophrastus, not the ancient Greek philosopher, but the modern day blogger. And this series too focuses on Richard Weaver's Ideas Have Consequences. And this person goes through the chapters. And I think that if I were to critique it, you know, it starts out transcendence or nominalism, which is outstanding. There's another one, the next one, ideas have consequences. So this person says, I'm going to go through this series. I'm going to try to write a deal for each chapter of ideas have consequences. Indeed, that is what this person did. Ideas have consequences. The introduction is considered the first post, but then from there, Ideas Have Consequences, Part 2, The Unsentimental Sentiment. This is sort of confusing because The Unsentimental Sentiment is actually Chapter 1 of Ideas Have Consequences. So, whatever. In any case, there are a total of 6 posts. There's the introduction of the concept, introduction of the book, and then I guess that would be, what is that? Yeah. And then the chapters. I think that's right. Anyway, it's a total of 6 posts in the series. And I really want to get to that. But I think what I'm going to do is talk about the problem a little bit first, drawing from Matthias de Smet's work. But his idea of the solution falls short. So we'll get to that. I think, you know, I find it wanting. He wrote something a few days ago titled Censorship in a Material World, which is interesting. I think it's a great companion to his piece from August 29, 2022, which shares the title of his book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism. So I'll probably read from those. And go in that order, which is appropriate. And I will take my time so that I don't do a disservice to you, dear listener. And on that note, let's go to the phones, I reckon. Chris of Virginia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris.
Morning.
Hey, morning. I just want to hit you with something. It's a little off topic. I apologize. But trying to stay, can I gossip about another host that's not an RBN host? That's just that's pretty famous, or you don't know. I really am perplexed by this, but I can just sort of sidestep it. if you want.
Well, I would say, you know, you are your own man, so do what you think.
Okay, well, I didn't want to put you on the spot. I just didn't want to put you on the spot.
It's okay. You can, you know, if we're going to gossip, hopefully it's edifying.
Hopefully, okay, I'm not trying to gossip. I'm not trying to rant or gossip, but I'm really perplexed.
I believe that.
Really, the media is a powerful thing that's real, mm-hmm. and we have people on our side, we hope. And it's about Steve Bannon. I mean, I'm perplexed by this guy. But today, he really said, I apologize for the noise in the background of the construction site. But today he said that we cannot live without Israel. Basically the country is going to collapse if we don't support Israel. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg with me. There's other things too that I have an issue with, but
it's definitely
what is up with that?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, you know, in light of the letter that I keep mentioning that's not, you know, it's not a real letter, but gosh, we seem to be sucked into that vortex right now based on sound bites like that, so.
Well, I just don't understand. I guess it's just it's like you said, Mark Twain would say, tell me who butters his corn, or what is it, the corn pop? What do you used to say?
Not corn pop, corn pone.
Yeah,
corn pop is Joe Biden. Corn pone is corn pone opinions. Show me where a man gets his corn pone, and I'll tell you what his opinions is.
Exactly. This probably applies to Steve Bannon somehow. And I guess we're all guilty of it in some degree. But my point is, we all look for truth, and we look for a pundit. We look for, you know, we should go to the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we look for people on this planet that we can listen to and get some kind of comfort from hearing the truth from. You're one great example, Chris. So I'll keep listening to you. But yeah, that kind of threw me today, man. I'm kind of done after that because this whole Israel thing is the most. And I know RBN has a pretty strong stance on that whole issue with the Jews, but in general, you don't even have to delve that deep and just go by. You know, the genocide in Gaza. And you can just go off that and go, well, there's a problem here, and we shouldn't be rah-rah for Israel, you know, for that just that reason there. But there's a lot of people that just, you know, they're baked into the cake form, and they're propagandized.
It's a very, very controversial issue, and it's intentionally polarizing. And I think, you know, it would be interesting if we step back and just really try to refrain from getting upset, because that's what's supposed to happen. We're all supposed to get upset about this. And it is interesting. You know, again, let's be honest. Do our founding documents give us any, you know, is there any justification for doing this? Are we Americans,
correct,
or what are we doing here?
Right.
I'm not trying
exactly
to cast aspersions on anyone. I'm just saying, let's be honest. Like I was saying earlier, if we can't be completely honest, then we have problems. And it's just it's a sales pitch and a race to the bottom to see who is the best salesman and who lies the best.
Great point. That's a good way. Hey, I'll let you get back, Chris, to your narrative.
Appreciate it.
Your narrative there.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Keep it honest. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all absolutely. Right, we have to do that. We have to fight the urge to be dishonest. First within ourselves. Anyway, can we play the Joe Biden clip? Joe Biden, this is Joe Biden back in 1986, speaking of Israel. Go ahead, please.
What does most of us do, Israel and this body, for apologizing for our support for Israel? There's no apology to be made. None. It is the best $3 billion investment we make. Were there not an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel to protect her interest in the region. The United States would have to go out and invent an Israel. I am with my colleagues who are on the floor in the Foreign Relations Committee, and we worry at length about NATO. And we worry about the eastern flank of NATO, Greece and Turkey, and how important it is. They pale by comparison. May I have one more minute, I ask my colleague?
The Senator's time has expired. Would you care to yield additional time?
One more minute, 60 seconds.
Without objection.
They pale by comparison in terms of the benefit that accrues to the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, my colleagues in the Senate, I suggest to you that if Saudi Arabia's interest lies in as much in the existence of an Israel as it does in the existence of any other single country, where Israel could not afford, nor could we, for Saudi Arabia to be toppled, nor could that occur in a way that would be prevented as a consequence of selling these sophisticated weapons. So let's shed the myth. Saudis are not bad guys. They are fine people, but they do not need these weapons. It will hurt them, hurt us. It's against U.S. interest. I thank my colleagues for the 6 minutes. It's a welcome time. Thank you.
There it is. Were there not an Israel in the U.S., were there not an Israel in the Middle East, the U.S. would have to invent an Israel to protect her interests in the region. Huh? Yeah. And like I said, let's be honest. Is there anything in our founding documents that says that's where we should be and what we should be doing? Or is that just dissipation? And is it just, as Jonathan Quitney put it, you know, endless enemies, the making of an unfriendly world? You know, George Washington said it in his farewell address that this kind of favoritism goes one direction and it's always bad. Let's be honest. Back to the phones. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Rhonda.
Okay, so you were talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Just the slogan, the lie that our diversity is our strength. That's a lie. It's an obvious lie.
Yeah, well, apparently these diversity directors didn't get the memo as to the defining of terms, because I saw at least two people getting fired because their anti-racist policy. So for questioning the anti-racist policy. So, you know, it's like, you know, if you're a diversity director, you can't be, you know, hating on white people or white-splaining or whatever they call it. Anyway, yeah, so if they would just, I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to be in a situation working with a piece of equipment or something that, you know, somebody didn't have a gift for, you know what I mean? And getting, well, I mean, look at airplanes flying, you know, flying these days. You go, why is that happening? It might be something different, but making sure that, you know, there's that quota that's filled, I think that's strange anyway. And you're not following necessarily, I mean, if they wanted to be an airplane mechanic, they could totally just focus on that. Be smart about it, and then if they realize they don't have the skills, then do something else. You know what I'm saying? Instead of getting ahead because of their color, you know what I mean?
Well, all of this gets to the heart of the nominalist discussion that I was hinting at, that I've sort of mentioned, that I mentioned yesterday, that I've talked about today, that I intend to get back to later in the week. Speaking of war kinds of, you know, the war is psychological. It's perception management. That's where the battleground is. It's the liminal space. It's the way in there kind of space that we, you know, have trouble articulating generally. But that's where the battle is being fought and won or lost right now. And I think honesty is the first line of defense. With ourselves and one another. And so to your point about this subject matter, the racist stuff is just a cudgel to try to browbeat people into, you know, capitulating and acquiescing to nonsense because they can't really maybe articulate why this is wrong. Are we headed into a break right now? Or can we skip it, please? By chance? Thank you very much. So here's the irony. This is a cudgel. People don't sit around thinking about this stuff, but we know that, you know, the roundtable groups, they smith these talking points. They sit around in their little, you know, think tanky clubs and things, and then the idea spins out from the epicenter out into the other groups and trickles down from there. But the rest of us don't sit around thinking about this stuff. And so it's difficult for people to articulate, and they just go along because they don't want to be the person who is, you know, raising controversy that they can't quite fully articulate. But here's the irony. Speaking of being completely honest, when it comes to racism, if we do have a problem with systemic racism in America, where's it coming from? Are we teaching Darwinian evolution in school still? The book, the title, as a dear friend reminded me a while ago, the full title of the book is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, Oxford, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. What the heck is favored races? And what is meant by the struggle for life? Who decides what favored races are? And if we wonder, it's kind of a rhetorical question and kind of not, because in The Descent of Man, Darwin tells us. He's, you know, you can search that. Anybody can search Darwin, Descent of Man, racist, and you'll come up with all kinds of, you know, things that people have written about Darwin reveals his own racist tendencies and those of his, you know, contemporary, shall we say. And we're teaching that in school. So if there's a problem, gosh, maybe we should look there. But the truth is, like Malcolm X even said in the media manipulation clip that we play all the time, the majority of American people are not racist, they're not segregationist, etc. It's this squawk box that's telling us all, playing us all off against each other. That's where that's coming from. So if we're honest with each other and, you know, first ourselves and then one another, I think, you know, that momentum that I was talking about earlier starts to move in a different direction. And I think bad guys know that. I think the devil knows that, which is why the propaganda never ends.
Well, what's interesting to me is they used to have an equal opportunity employer, right?
Sure.
And if you were, I don't know if that's still a thing, but if you were discriminated against and it was more than just color, it was, you know, sexual harassment. I mean, I don't know why they had to go, well, I kind of do, but, you know, full guns on the DEI, because there were avenues that people could take and it wasn't as public as the DEI. You know, like if you had a situation at work that you were being discriminated against.
I think the problem is further upstream. We're not, you know, we keep hearing stories about we're not teaching cursive writing in school, so kids can't go back and see that there is no basis for X, Y, and Z. For example, what Chris and I were just talking about in our founding documents. They can't read that, but you know what? They know how to form a hashtag, or they know how to tag somebody in a thing with the at symbol. They can write in that language, but they can't read cursive or write in it. Problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I remember, and this goes way higher up. I think I've been thinking about this for the last few days. I think it was Toynbee who said that he came from the last generation of folks who were taught in the fancy English educational circles, I think Greek and Latin. And he came from the last of that tradition. So, I mean, the problem goes further up.
Okay, well, I also saw a few articles. It looks like they're kind of disbanding some of that. They're getting rid of some of those positions because maybe it's not working to their advantage or something. you know, like at colleges and stuff. And, you know, I know that some employers even hire the, they have a whole department on diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's just, I just don't know why they couldn't just leave it be. I mean, I do believe, you know, there could be a potential problem at work, like sexual harassment or, you know, like racist kind of stuff, and they could have just sued their employer like they used to, you know, or take them to court, or, you know, make sure that they're not being, I don't even think that was a thing, really. I mean, I never knew anybody that was harassed myself. That doesn't
right.
mean anything. I didn't have a whole lot
it's,
of jobs.
It's all
but,
perception management. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rhonda.
Okay. All right, bye.
Before we go back to the phones real quick, you know, to the, you know, Chris talking about Mark Twain cornpone opinions. I mean, where do you get your cornpone? If you have to work, again, speaking of the post that I mentioned, finding comfort and hard work, if you have to work for your corn, well, but if social programs give you your corn, then, you know, think about it. Back to the phones, James in Vancouver. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, good morning. By the way,
morning,
I caught
sir.
That Norman Dodd and the G. Edward Griffin interview on the YouTube. Thank you for the introduction. It's an interesting situation. And again, you mentioned the education system today. And I want to say that I think Israel is really finished. Since 9/11, we've been fighting wars over there. And I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back, this Netanyahu business in Gaza. So we dropped 7.5 million tons of bombs on Vietnam over a 10-year period. And but then we didn't have any way to... We didn't have the internet, say, to get all the facts, you see. So I think this is simply, and even Donald Trump in the last days saying it's a public relations disaster.
On the day of the eclipse, dun, 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 dun.
I'll let you go, sir. Sorry I got in late today.
I apologize. We didn't get to you till late. Thank you, James. Much appreciated, as always. I think it's all theater. I think the best thing we can do is be our own, you know, get our own agency and autonomy back. First step is complete honesty with ourselves and with others. Imagine what could happen. Imagine what happens when you're steadfast and resolute. The truth is the truth. We'll talk more about that in the days coming up. But I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.